We have Corey Cruz, who is a two-time national champion, a world champion, and Hall of Fame inductee into the National Sporting Clays Hall of Fame. He'll be there doing clinics. And so if you're somebody that's into sporting clays, like to have this opportunity in central Minnesota to learn from one of the best in the game, that's a pretty cool opportunity. On top of that, we got Richard Marshall Jr., who's on the trap side, 35-time All-American. He's won the Grand American several times, Hall of Fame inductee. Like, we're bringing in some big names, and I'm super excited for these clinics because we're adding to the experience, the opportunity to learn and grow your game.
Nick Larson here, host of the Birdshot Podcast, the show that brings you conversations, stories, and traditions from all across the uplands. The Birdshot Podcast is presented by Onyx Hunt and supported by folks just like you via our Patreon community. If you want to stay up to date and not miss any of our upcoming episodes, be sure to subscribe and follow the show in your podcast player or on YouTube, wherever you're listening or watching today. Tap that button for me. Thank you for doing so. And with that said, let's get into today's conversation on the Birdshot Podcast.
We are back on the Birdshot Podcast. Welcome to another episode, everybody. And today I'm excited to be joined once again by the creator of the Target Focus Life YouTube channel, Steve Gould. How are you doing?
Oh, man. I am doing great, Nick. Better than I deserve, in fact. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Very well. Thank you for asking. Man, you've had a lot going on lately. I know you were in Italy. You also, this is kind of hits close to home for at least you and I and probably quite a few listeners. The big state high school trap shooting tournament. How involved in that are you? It happens at the shooting grounds that you are a part owner of, right? But correct me if I'm wrong, but how was that event this year?
It went great. I mean, a big thing with that event, we have a great team, we have great grounds. The USA Clay Target League does a great job organizing it. The thing we don't control, weather. And that can make a huge impact. Last year, it rained a lot of the days. It was a wet, muddy mess out there. Creates parking chaos and all sorts of things. But this year, very fortunate. Weather was pretty good overall. A few little rain showers, a few delays. Things ran really smooth. Over 7,700 kids shot at the shooting park, the Alexandria Shooting Park, over the course of 9 days. And so anytime you can get that many kids through, plus parents, grandparents, coaches, tens of thousands of people, without incident, successful event. It's just awesome to see.
Yeah, that is so many shooters. It's kind of been on my radar. It's probably going back, I don't know how many years, but it was a big thing in the news, like how many shooters were the growth of the sport and how many shooters were going through the Minnesota State High School tournament. My son is in karate right now, and there was one of the classes was canceled because his teacher was going down to that event to help out with the trap team at the school. And it kind of was a light bulb for me. I've been wanting to sort of get closer to maybe somebody in the area that's doing that sort of stuff. And turns out there's my son's pretty young. He's only 8, but there's a trap team at a school. So we were talking about that. He was getting all excited because he's into all that stuff. So I'll have to kick around, but I know that's a big event and a lot of people travel down to it. So glad it went off without a hitch this year.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing we're celebrating is the fact that, I mean, we had 7,700 kids shoot and they all shoot 100. So do the math on that. It's a lot of shots going off. And that's one event. You think about through the spring season and the fall season, millions of rounds every year in Minnesota, plus the rest of the country. Since the league started, I don't know how many rounds it's been, but tens of millions, I imagine, without incident. It's just something worth celebrating that kids are coming up, learning firearm responsibility in controlled environments from an early age, and not just your regular kids that would probably have firearms no matter what. Like we think about us that are in rural areas, right? It's very common that we grow up or have these experiences around firearms, but a lot of these kids are coming from metro areas, even from families that are kind of not real gun friendly. I've heard a lot of stories about parents come to these meetings about this team and they're like, I don't know that I want my kid touching a gun. I'm against guns. And then the kids start shooting and then the parents come and watch. And then guess what? Sooner or later, the parents get engaged and end up shooting. And it really is great for changing people's mindsets around firearms. When they see firearms used in a responsible way, healthy way, fun, encouraging way, and all the good that comes out of it, it can change a lot of minds.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah. My kids are not there yet, but needless to say, I'm excited. How about yours? Are they old enough? Are they into that sort of thing? Or are you guys kind of shooting on your own?
Yeah. Well, my daughter is 16. She could care less about firearms or anything dad likes at this point.
I know we've talked about that before.
Yeah, which is totally fine. My son, he does shoot. He actually does exhibitions with me. He's been doing that the last couple of years. So we travel and put on live trick shooting shows, which interestingly enough, helps you zero for trap shooting. Like, yeah, you can shoot 6 clays in the air at one time at 14 years old, but shooting one clay at a time, you know, 25 or 50 or 75 times in a row is a different story. But yeah, my son shoots trap. He also is on the sporting team, and I'm a coach on the Osaka sporting team as well, and lead that. So that's been a lot of fun just to work with the athletes, not just in trap, but sporting clays. Let's be honest, it's just a lot more fun.
It is fun. Yeah, I really, honestly, I don't even know if I've ever shot an actual round of trap. I've shot at trap stations and stuff, but sporting clay is only for me, and a little bit of skeet here and there. But I was going to go on Tuesday this week, but I was a little bit tied up and couldn't get out. One of my buddies was going to the range, but I do look forward to that. We've got a really nice course here. And that was something. Do you have that at the shooting grounds? Were you adding it? I know we talked about that before.
Yeah. Last fall we put in a sporting clays course, 15 stations. Okay. So we got 30 machines out there. Our loop is about 0.8 miles. So we actually can get out and walk or drive it with a cart. And actually, a really cool thing about our course is we have 3D archery out there as well. So on the sporting clays, you're shooting towards the middle, and then the archery, you're walking, shooting on the outsides.
Huh, very cool.
Of the loop. So yeah, it's kind of an overlay. I don't know if other places have that or if that's unique to us, but it's pretty cool.
It would make sense just given the way many sporting clays courses are laid out, just sort of, you know, a lot of them are kind of natural settings. And the one that I don't think they have a lot of archery here at Old Vermilion in Duluth, but I could be wrong, but they've got a beautiful property, so they certainly could, but it's primarily a shooting center. But I am looking forward to checking that out when I come down and visit you later this month, since this episode's going up, and we're recording in June, but it's going up in July. I can't wait to come down there and see the grounds.
Yeah, that is just around the corner. It's coming up fast for Shotgun Fest.
Indeed, indeed. We're going to talk about Shotgun Fest briefly, but I got to talk to you because I'm a little jealous. You did just get back from a trip to Italy on some target-focused life-related business in the shotgun world. So naturally, piqued my curiosity. Tell me a little bit about your trip to Italy. Where'd you go? What did you see? What surprised you? What do you want to go back and see? Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, it was an amazing trip. I've never been overseas. Canada, Mexico, but not over the pond. And so this was my first experience. I was actually invited by Benelli. I had made a video last year, kind of not being critical of their products, but just kind of saying maybe a lot of it was marketing hype. And I think that got their attention. And so they're like, well, why don't you come over to Italy and we'll show you what we really put into our products. So they invited us over. We flew into Rome. And, you know, the first thing I noticed was just everything looks different. Their buildings, their architecture, of cars. Their cars are tiny. I think, and we're seeing this in the World Cup right now. Is that what it's called? The World Cup?
You are asking the soccer wrong guy, but I know what's going on, but that's about all I know.
Well, whatever the soccer thing's called, I don't follow soccer. I will watch.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, Team USA. But But you got all these Europeans and people from all over the world coming here. And it's funny to see what they point out about the U.S. Like, their cars are huge. Their sodas are huge. Their portion sizes are huge, which is all true. But yeah, just the thing that probably I was most fascinated with outside of the shotgun manufacturing, we went to Bedelli, we went to Paratsy in Brescia area, was their buildings. We're about to celebrate 250 years here in America. Well, since our independence and our founding, obviously the colonies were around much longer than that. But when we go to different places where they have historical sites and we see a building that's 250 years old, for example, George Washington was in this building. I get fascinated by that. And then you go to Rome or to Italy and you're like, yeah, this building's been here for 2,000 plus years. And you're seeing just some ancient history, which was fascinating to me. It really ignited a fire where I'd like to go to more international places, Jerusalem, Turkey, different places, and just learn more about world history. But on the shotgun side, Benelli was fascinating. I was really impressed. I will have a full factory tour coming out in the next month or two. So stay tuned for that on Target Focus Life YouTube channel, kind of getting an inside look at what Benelli does. And I think the biggest thing I pulled away from Benelli was the appreciation of the research, the science, and the quality control that they put into their products. And then on top of that is the innovation. I think there's a lot of companies out there that are happy to go to a factory, give them a print, and say, stamp out these guns. And they do it in quick fashion, and they work, and sometimes they work just fine. But what I really appreciated was Benelli's always trying to push the bounds, push the envelope to see what new they can create to change the market. You know, example would be like their best coating, which is a proprietary process that they haven't patented at all. And the reason they didn't get a patent on it is because they would have to write down their process. And they said it's so complex that we don't think anyone will be able to copy it. So I appreciated that. Benelli makes like 1,000, over 1,000 guns a day. And then you go up to northern Italy.
Holy cow.
Where Paratsy's at. And they make, I think, around on average 7 guns a day. You know,
I think so I've heard that number before. Yeah.
Just night and day difference. And, you know, I was right up there where RFM is. And I would definitely love to check that out. There's a whole valley, the Gardone-Valtrompia Valley, that is full of shotgun makers in Italy. We should team up, do a trip over there, Nick.
Hopefully Jerry's listening. Not that we need his permission to do that, but honestly, yeah, this part of me asking was because I have not made the trip over there yet, but there's some anniversaries and some discussions and stuff coming up that I really, really want to get over there. I have only been to Italy once on my honeymoon, which is like 12 years ago or so. And this is pre-podcast, everything. So I was not there on shotgun industry business. But it's funny you meant, like, I had the same takeaway. And maybe that's, I know we're not alone in that, but maybe it's just you, like, I'm apt to be stopped in my tracks when you get something that kind of like hits you and you get that historical perspective, like that a building that's 500 years old or Beretta has been making guns for 500 years, that kind of thing. It's just like, you have that moment where you're just like, wow, I'm just going about my day here. And like, I think I have all these problems and challenges. Like the world keeps turning, right? And it's just seeing that history, that world history, and knowing that stuff has been there for that time, it's just like it's a perspective shift. And I really, really appreciated that when I went to Italy. And a lot of stuff really, I didn't have high expectations. Like, I just didn't think it was going to affect me that way. But being in the presence of that ancient history and the architecture and everything, it took me by surprise a little bit how much like I enjoyed it, and I was having a great time. You know, it was an awesome trip. My wife and I kind of did our own thing. We did a little bit of a tour, and then we had some friends over there as well, and we met up, and Just a great trip overall, but I had some of this, I walked away with some of the same feelings that you did. And I very much would like to get back, especially to the Gun Valley. I think we should do a TFL RFM factory tour.
100%. Let's get it in the books. I'm going to say something controversial though, Nick, and maybe you'll agree with me. Maybe you won't. Okay. I think this is something that will split people a little bit. I got tired of the food. Okay. They have great food, pastas and pizza, although don't expect American pizza. It's very different, very good food. But everywhere you go, it's like, do you want pasta or pizza? And at some point, you're like, I want a burger. I want a steak.
Cheeseburger.
Give me, I want some Tex-Mex. Come on, let's mix it up a little bit. But I did notice that we never felt bloated. You never felt crappy from the food. One, portion sizes are smaller. But two, I think their food is a lot cleaner as far as what's in it. So you never felt bad. But I did miss me some American food.
Yeah, I'm American. With you. I wouldn't say I didn't walk away thinking that, but I could see where you would come up with that. One of my favorite foods is pizza, and I do recall being kind of like less than satisfied. I was like, whoa, I thought this was like, and I know I think I know now that's not real. That's not American pizza. It didn't come from there. But yeah, you're not gonna find that. It's more like don't they have calzones and like just other stuff. But I have been hearing, I had my nutrition as well figured out back then. So I don't know if I would have noticed really, but you do hear more and more now, like when people go to Italy, they talk about not being affected by the different wheats and the glutens and that's kind of almost in pop culture. I'm kind of curious to see that. If my wife went over with me, she would have a lot to say about that. It would be interesting to notice that, but I'll take your word for it. I gotta get back over there and experience it. But yeah, we drank a lot of wine and ate a lot of pasta. I do recall that.
Yeah, and their wine's really good. I'm not a big wine drinker. I don't really drink it in the States, but you know, when they're ordering it at these restaurants, I'd have some, and it was all very good and much cheaper than the US. So definitely worth a trip over to Italy if you get the chance. And I definitely think we need to make an RFM trip and see how things are made there.
Well, the seed has been planted, so we'll let's keep our heads together on that one.
Absolutely.
But we've got other things to talk about. As listeners are hearing this in early July, we are fast approaching the, what are you calling it? Just Shotgun Fest 2026 or 2.0? Like, what's the working title for
Shotgun Fest 2026 for short, or the TFL Shotgun Fest? Yeah, either one. It all works. I don't know what I call it. We just have fun.
Well, it was the inaugural TFL Shotgun Fest in 2025, and it's back again this year. I was not able to attend last year, but I am very excited
to
be attending.
We cried a little.
Yeah. You guys survived without me. Jerry was there. Upland Gun Company was there, and I know you guys had a great time, and it's back again this year. Bigger, better, bolder?
That's what we're going for. We are heavy in promoting and planning and still pulling pieces together, but we got some really big names coming this year that I'm excited about. We want to build the TFL Shotgun Fest into a festival for anyone that loves shotguns or any of the shotgun sports, whether it's the clay sports or the wing shooting sports. And so our plan is just to build this bigger and bigger every year until it becomes one of the biggest or the biggest shotgun-centric festival in the country. That's the big vision. I put it out there, so now I better follow through and do it. But we have Corey Cruz, who is a two-time national champion, a world champion, and Hall of Fame inductee into the National Sporting Clays Hall of Fame. He'll be there doing clinics. And so if you're somebody that's into sporting clays, like to have this opportunity in central Minnesota to learn from one of the best in the game, that's a pretty cool opportunity. On top of that, we got Richard Marshall Jr., who's on the trap side, 35-time All-American. He's won the Grand American several times, Hall of Fame inductee. Like, we're bringing in some big names, and I'm super excited for these clinics because we're adding to the experience, the opportunity to learn and grow your game. And on top of that, someone you know very well, Del Whitman, will be there. He's doing gun fittings for several days. And I think, is he booked up?
He might be. I can see he's on the website. His email is there. If anybody's listening and wants to possibly get in there, email him right away. But it's possible that we're filled up there.
Yeah, so I think Dell was getting really close to being booked as we're recording this. And then also the VIP Annie Oakley shoot and social is sold out. But we still have tons of other things going on for people to participate in. We have your traditional competitions like trap, sporting, skeet, five stand with really cool prizes, including one I'm really stoked about, Nick. It's for the high overall. So whoever shoots the most clays out of those competitions will get a custom America 250th anniversary shotgun.
I saw a little snippet of that from your trip. So you got one of those from Benelli?
Nope, we didn't get the Benelli one. Oh. I asked when I saw that at Benelli, I was like, hey, how do I get one of these? And they said we have 250 and they're all spoken for. I was like, wow. Thanks for wrecking my day. But no, we are getting one. We just took a Mossberg 940 Pro, and then we're getting it custom Cerakoted and some laser engraving. I don't even know what the final design is going to look like.
Gotcha.
I'm leaving that to Mike at Deadeye Graphics. But we're going to come up with this 250th anniversary shotgun, just unique, one of a kind. And that will be our high overall prize. We're giving away like 7 guns. I know we're giving away certificates, like 3 certificates. $500 certificates to Upland Gun Company. So we got over $10,000 in prizes, and it's going to be a great day. But outside of those normal competitions, Nick, this is, I think, what people really loved last year is we do unconventional things. We call them challenges. So for example, one is the Can Cannon Challenge. Instead of shooting a shotgun at a clay, you're shooting a 12-ounce soda slug through a can cannon to try to shoot clays out of the air. Whoever hits the most clays throughout the course of the day, you can keep entering, see how many you can shoot throughout the course of the day, will win a can cannon and other prizes.
Wow.
We have like the Benelli AI challenge where you're going to have to shoot from various distances. And if you can complete it, you'll be in to win a Benelli Ethos Super Sport. We got Fab Arms we're giving away in the flurry, a whole bunch of stuff. The shotgun, here's one, the Wheel of Shotgun Fortune.
Ooh.
Yeah, you want to spin it, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, be careful, because every time you spin it, you have to shoot. It's just a trap target, basic trap target from the 16-yard line. You got to shoot it a different way. It might be off 1 foot. It might be from the hip. It might be with a short-barreled tactical gun. It might be with an optic. It might be with drunk goggles on, maybe. We'll see if we can do that safely. And then whoever gets the longest streak out of that day will win a shotgun. So, yeah.
Heck
so
yeah, man.
We got good food out there, great food truck, all sorts of stuff. I think we hit on most of them, but I'm looking forward to it. And it was a great thing last year just to bring people together. You know, these aren't registered targets. This isn't, yes, it's competition to some extent, but it's
right.
Just people coming together, having fun, and sharing the joy of shotguns and the shotgun shooting sports.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we hit record, you and I were chatting about a number of things, including sort of modern day distractions. And one thing you talked about was just kind of the lack of connection. Like sometimes that we're not connecting one-on-one, we're not getting together in groups. And I know just from the stuff that I pay attention to, like these kinds of events are becoming of more interest to people because we're kind of looking for ways to get back together with friends and people that have shared interests, right? So it seems to me at least as of right now, from the outside looking in, that that's kind of at the core of this event, just people that have a love for shotguns and the shotgun sports. Come on out, have a good time, and meet some of your fellow shotgun enthusiasts, right?
Yeah, and the way this originally came about is 3 years ago, we hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. And so we asked people, what should we do? You know, and some people said, you know, do a giveaway, give away a gun, give away $100,000, you know, whatever. But a lot of people said, do something in person, do some type of get together. And so you could see that there were people that wanted some type of experience, more than just a product sent their way, something like that. And so we did a TFL range day that year. Then year two, it turned into Shotgun Fest. And now we're in kind of year three, but year two of Shotgun Fest. And we're in an interesting time in history, I feel like, because COVID, if we all remember that fun period, mm-hmm. a lot of people went to isolation. A lot of people changed their habits and removed from a lot of the in-person things they were doing. And I feel like it's been a challenging time to get back into it. I talked to a lot of people about this and, you know, oh, well, our trap league, for example, at the Alexandria Shooting Park, we bought it right after COVID. And they said, well, our numbers were huge. Here's what our numbers were, but we've struggled to get back to that since COVID. And my gut is telling me, I don't have any real data, but my gut is telling me people are still kind of a little bit isolated. And the more we have access to everything on our phones, immediate entertainment, people are staying home and not engaging as much. But I think there is a true starving for physical and in-person connection with people. Because that's where real relationship happens.
Yep. I would agree with that. It seems like there's a lot of residue from like the habit changes and the shifts and things from COVID. And I guess if I'm like being honest, like looking at, like, I have 2 young kids, 8 and 4. So if you just rewind the clock a little bit, like, it's easy for me to say, well, I've got 2 little kids at home. Like, I don't want to go anywhere and do anything. And it is a busy time of life. And I don't think that's going to change necessarily anytime soon for me. It gets different as your kids get older and you start doing different things. But it is one of those things where to kind of have that weekly meetup or, you know, the Sporting Clays League or something. I feel like I've been craving that a little bit, and there's always something to that is demanding your attention or you can work on or whatever, but you just got to be intentional about some of this stuff. So, I'm glad you pulled it off and you're back for year two, because I think it's gonna be a really fun event.
Yeah, no, and we'll just keep growing it. Eventually, like I said, mm-hmm. hopefully have a whole bunch of vendors, you know, and make it more than just on hand shooting. But we're starting with we just want to get people engaged shooting and spending time together.
So for anybody that kind of like missed the recap video, wasn't there last year, like, walk us through the logistics of the day. What should people know? Got to sign up in advance. If they show up on the day of, what should they, where are they going to go? What are they going to do?
Oh yeah, that's a great point. So Friday is our development day. So we got the clinics, we got the VIP night, which is sold out. So why did I even bring that up?
Well, you got to let them know.
it's a day for learning, right? So if you're a VIP ticket holder, which we still can sell VIP tickets, just not the VIP night, you can come practice, learn, grow on Friday. But then Saturday's the main day. We also have the clinics going Saturday, but it kicks off with a live target-focused live show at, I think, 9 a.m. So my son and I and maybe some special guests, we'll see. We try to keep that pretty short, but we just want to start the day with energy, having some fun, and then people disperse and go to all the different directions, including, I didn't even mention this, Nick, the manufacturer demos. So we have a bunch of manufacturers coming out that will have their guns on hand, and you can test out the guns. You can shoot them. You can talk with the manufacturer's reps, and it's just a great chance to get hands-on with a whole bunch of shotguns. And
that's possibly one of the more appealing things for listeners of the show, is to come and get a hands-on demo of a bunch of different kinds of guns.
Well, good thing we brought this up 3/4 of the way through the show then, and that's towards the beginning.
Hopefully you're still with us.
Yeah, I mean, Upland Gun Company, you guys are going to be there. Mm-hmm. You'll have a bunch of guns that people can try. It's a great opportunity just to get hands-on, but also chat with you guys, potentially meet Del Whitman, maybe get a gun fitting, and just start that process. So, you know, I have the opportunity to shoot all these different shotguns and do these reviews. And we make the reviews for people as part of their education process. So as they're trying to decide what to buy, they're just informed. We don't really care what people buy at the end of the day. We just want people to be informed so they can find the products that will work best for them and they can enjoy them on their pursuits and journey. And but a lot of people don't have the opportunity to shoot these guns and really test them out, especially side by side with different manufacturers to see. And that's where the difference lies. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've done a bunch of reviews of guns And then when it comes to actually getting my own gun, I go, well, geez, I've reviewed all of them, but I want to shoot them side by side to get a better idea. And I'm actually working on that now in a Sporting Clays video where I'm taking the top end Sporting Clays guns. These ones are 12,000 and above. So your Perazzis, your Blazers, your Caesar Guarini Invictus, whatever they are.
Krieghoffs.
I haven't, that might be in part two. We'll see. Cause I chose a winner from part one. And then in part two, I plan to put it against like a Krieghoff K80, maybe a DT11, whatever. And if this video series does well, we'll go down to kind of the mid-tier guns. And then we'll go to the intermediate. And don't ask me what the difference between mid-tier and intermediate are. And then we'll go to kind of more of the beginner type guns and kind of have something for everybody as they're looking through it. But yeah, manufacturer demos. Wow, that was a long way to talk about manufacturer demos. At Shotgun Fest.
But that's cool. I will even throw in a little carrot for listeners if they attend this little RFM 20 gauge, which is a beautiful little grouse gun, 5 3/4 pound side plated Venus. I will have that there, and you can shoot it.
Nice. So
I'll bring that one for everybody to check out and shoot at the range.
What'd you say the weight was? 5 3/4.
5 pounds 3/4 ounces.
Okay.
It's 5 3/4 pounds. Sorry, 5 3/4 pounds.
Yeah, I was tracking that.
Yeah, not 3/4 ounces. Yeah, 5 5 3/4 pounds, just under 6 pounds. Side play. That was the first RFM that it wasn't built for me, but it's really close to fitting my custom dimensions, which I now have from Del Whitman. I carried that one for a season and. Really did well with it, and that kind of inspired the rest of the RFMs that I've built now in the subsequent years. But it's a really, really nice example of the Venus 20 gauge, and if you're an upland bird hunter, it's a fun one to shoot.
So what's your go-to now?
So I built a 28 gauge. It really, like, to tell the story, after I shot that 20 gauge, I was kind of kicking the tires on like 12 gauge. I was into sort of like the vintage English 12 gauge, sort of the value proposition of that. And 12 gauge can do everything. You can load it down, you can load it up, but a nice lightweight balanced 12 gauge was something that I kind of desired. But I was also intrigued by all the chatter around 28 gauge, which I feel like has only really grown since then. This is probably five years ago now. So anyways, I built a Venus 28 and a 12 gauge that are pretty much identical. The 12 has 29 inch barrels. The 28 gauge has 30 inch barrels. Cause I wasn't full on the 30. I didn't know if like, can you really shoot 30 inch barrels in the grouse woods? Listeners, longtime listeners of the show now know that I'm kind of, enthralled by them, but it's not I don't think like 30 inch barrels aren't something you have to have, but for me, I'm a little bit taller guy. I have 15 inch length of pull. The Venus 28 gauge is a very light gun. Mine weighs 5 pounds, 5 ounces, so 5 1/4 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I just think the 30 inch barrels help even out that swing and the feel. Whereas if you really shorten the barrels down, it would not be the same gun. So it's a give and take, right? But the difference between 28 and I get into these conversations all the time with customers, like the difference between a 28 inch barrel and a 30 inch barrel, not a ton. 29 to 30, like you can drive yourself crazy, like trying to think, do I go 1 inch more? That's not where it's a big deal. But when you're talking 26 versus 30, that starts to make a little bit difference.
Yeah.
But
one of my biggest things is just how the gun balances.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing, and how it moves and what your preference is on how a gun moves. You know, you are making quick moves in a grouse wood. So, you know, I'm okay with a little bit quicker moving gun. I don't want my Sporting Clays gun to be, you know, super quick. And so that brings in the conversation of, well, what do you shoot the most? And then when you train, like if I'm going from a Sporting Clays gun that's 8.5 pounds and is very well balanced and moves smooth to the target, then all of a sudden I'm grouse hunting and I got a 26 inch barrel that's super fast and light. You can do it. Don't get me wrong. You can transition, but it takes a little bit of time to get back. I got to slow my hands down even more. I got to move differently. So I like to shoot things that don't take a big learning curve, because when I go out on hunts, you know, I don't have necessarily a lot of time to do them, and I want to be successful.
Yeah. Yeah, you bring up a good point, too, because it is kind of, it's like, there's a reason people say fear the man or woman with one gun, right? Because it's what you get used to. And I recall specifically that gun over my shoulder, when I first got that, that was about the lightest, like most centrally balanced gun I had shot. And I remember being on the sporting clays range ahead of that grouse season, whatever that was. And I just, it wasn't clicking for me. Like I wasn't hitting targets. And maybe it was my old buddy Scott or somebody kind of gave me a tip, and like I was not being intentional enough with that swing, and I had to really move it because the weight was so much in the middle. I had to get those barrels moving, and that's such a light gun. Once I did, it clicked. Mm. And now that's kind of all I've been shooting since. So if I went out and tried to shoot like a big heavy sporting clays gun, I mean, I might be awful with it. I don't know, but I sort of, that's pretty much all I've shot now for the last 5-6 years, are kind of side by sides, all in that sort of like physical form. So it is kind of what you get used to as well.
But. Yeah, and I'm not sure what I'm used to, because I mean my whole world revolves around shooting.
You
different
shoot
guns.
Them all,
you know. Then exactly. I'm always going places. I'll go on a hunt, for example, and I'll take out a gun that I've reviewed, but I haven't really shot it much. And then, you know, so I'm always getting used to new guns, which, of course, doesn't help my average with shooting. But that's why I'm doing this sporting clays video, because I'm actually going to choose a sporting clays gun. Now, I'll still do reviews, still shoot other guns. But when I go shoot sporting, I'm going to shoot that gun and see if I can actually become really good with it instead of always shooting a different gun. But it gives me excuses, Nick. It's kind of nice to be like, well, I've never shot this gun before. Oh, this moves different than other guns, you know, whatever. But
I always got to have a few of those in your back pocket.
I do. I always do.
But anybody that saw your video where you did the gun fitting with Dell might remember that kind of came up. It was like it was obvious to somebody like Dell who's done a bunch of these, where you're a guy that is used to picking up all kinds of different guns and kind of doing what you need to do to be able to shoot that gun effectively. And that was a very apparent in your gun fitting.
Yeah. I believe he said something to the extent that I was one of the most challenging gun fittings he's ever had. I don't know if that was a compliment or diss or what it was, but
in a Dell kind of way. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't, maybe, I don't know if you still hold the record or if maybe somebody new has come along. I'm not sure. We'll have to ask him at Shotgun Fest.
Yeah. That's definitely on my mind. We'll ask him at Shotgun Fest. And, I can't wait. We got, from when we're recording, about just 1 month exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And, for anybody very interested in the sporting clays, where I don't have a lot of details I can share yet, but the plan is for Upland Gun Company to have a new gun there, not the really RFM, a new RFM shotgun at the event that you can see. Will it be a demo shootable? I don't know if I could say that for sure yet.
I'll make it happen, Nick.
Well, I mean, you're going to be shooting it, so I don't see why everybody else can't. Well, that's enough of a tease. A new sporting clays shotgun from RFM that I think folks would be pretty interested in if you are into sporting clay guns. So,
well, if it's anything like the other RFM shotguns, where you can get custom stocks at a fairly reasonable price, I mean, that's not something that exists until you get into this kind of the super high end part of the market, like the Perazzis.
Yep.
Where, I mean, their starting point is, I think, $17,500 to get a custom stock, which I'm a huge advocate of. Like, anytime you can get a custom stock, obviously everyone's got a different perception of value and if it's worth it to them. But gun fit being one of the most important things to shooting well, at least a foundational piece to shooting well, technique after that and repetitions. But, I'm super excited to see what you guys have in the works, and it will be at Shotgun Fest. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Yes, it will. It will be at Shotgun Fest. It is here in the U.S. now. We were hoping to get it here on time, and we got plenty of time to spare at this point. So, we're all good. We will have it there. So definitely stop by the Upland Gun Company booth at Shotgun Fest this year to check it out. How about you've got a Venus 2028. Have you, I know you took some trips. Have you been putting that to use? You did the video with Ben Bredigan a couple of years ago. doing grouse hunting. Have you had a chance to do some hunting with that?
That might have been the last time I shot it. Was that 2 years ago? Oh my goodness!
That was 2 years ago.
Oh my goodness! Therein lies the problem, Nick. I love that gun. Yep. I would love to hunt with it more often. But I'm always, like, every time I'm going out and doing a hunt, I'm testing something different. I'm looking at a different gun. Maybe at some point in my life, I'll just be like, hey, I've shot all the guns. I've done all the things. Let me just grab my few favorites and hunt and shoot with those. But I'm not there quite yet.
Target focus life problems, folks.
Yes. First world problems, for sure. But I've greatly enjoyed it. You know, for me, I do shoot a lot more over-unders than I do side-by-side. Yeah. So every time I pick that up, it takes a little bit for me to adjust my sight picture with it. But yeah, love that gun. And, wouldn't mind having a Sporting Clays version of a Upland Gun Company. But I'm throwing that out there. Food for thought.
Yeah, that could be a fun project. Maybe a trip to Italy to pick out the wood.
Now we're talking. Things are getting good on the podcast now, Nick.
I love it. Okay. What else? We won't leave Shotgun Fest quite yet. From year one to year two, any major differences? I know we set up 2026 already, but you got feedback and obviously coming back for a bigger, better year two, but any major differences this year?
Yeah, we had good feedback. You know, most of the changes we're making, a little bit difference in the lineup, but a lot of the changes no one's going to notice, right? Because it's just operational stuff on the back end, nothing sexy. But biggest change is bringing in those pros, you know, bringing in some big names to do clinics.
Okay.
And changing the lineup as far as games and prizes and that type stuff. We're going to be close to reaching our full capacity at the shooting park for a one, because the shooting side is a 1 day event, July 25th, learning day or development day on the 24th. We'll probably have to move to a multi-day format. And then that's when we'll expand to having vendors. So like we said, even if you're not interested in shooting, you can come check things out, bring the family, maybe get some dog stuff. Like we don't want it to be all clay related. Clay sports are just part of the affinity for shotguns, upland hunting, waterfowl hunting, dogs. You know, they all fall into the mix. And I feel like there's not one great event that covers all those things. We have some actually really cool events in Minnesota compared to the rest of the country. But nothing gives you hands-on experience plus vendors, waterfowl, upland, like the whole gamut of the shotgun shooting sports, like what we're trying to build. We just got to do it smart. Yeah. We can't build too fast, Nick. That's always the danger. Yep. Last year, I was a little disappointed. I had a goal in mind for how many people, and we didn't quite make that goal. But as I looked around, I thought, I'm glad we didn't make that goal. We would have too many people standing in line, people frustrated, and it wouldn't have been a good thing. So that's, I think, the challenge with growing anything is just growing at the right pace, but especially live events.
Yep, for sure. It'd be easy to kind of throw a bunch of ideas at the wall and try to do everything all at once, but...
And I'm pretty notorious for that, so...
yeah. But I know you know how to set goals and iterate and move towards them, so you're on that path. But, you know, you mentioned, like, yeah, there are, and I won't claim to know them all, but, you know, you've got, like, sort of your big sort of vendor trade show type event, but, like, what you're talking about is kind of, it's outdoor environment, hands-on, you've got shooting, you've got vendors. It's kind of a cool combination. Also time of year, late July. I mean, we'll be past the 4th of July at that point. And it would be, I don't think there'll be too many listeners of this show whose minds are not drifting ahead at that point, thinking about September 1 and that kind of stuff. So I've got a new puppy here. She's being very, very good, sleeping down at my feet.
Oh, wow.
Needless to say, I'm pretty excited about fall. As much as I enjoy the change of pace and the slowdown of the summertime.
Slowdown of summertime. You and I live in different worlds, brother.
Yeah, it's a little bit slower, I feel like, just with the kids' schedules, although we're still getting them to different camps and doing all kinds of stuff. But it's I've got my sights set on fall this year, and I'm excited. But I need to get to the range and do some shooting as well. So.
Well, if you come down early and you got the time to spare, we got the targets, we got the courses. You can definitely. I'd love to take you out and do some shooting out there.
That's what. Yeah, I'm planning that. Now we got to get the logistics in place, but I'm hoping to be down there at least a day or two early before all the fun begins. Dell will be doing gun fittings early in the week, and be fun to get down there and check it out. Dang it, I had something. It'll come back to me. But the clinics. I'm looking on the website and I see only 20 spots total. Are those development day clinics? Are those? Do you still have availability? And that would be sort of pending. Obviously, we're recording this before this episode's going to go up, but what's the status there?
Yeah, over the last couple of days, we're selling tickets every day. So there's only 20 spots per pro for both Friday and Saturday. So the clinics are only 5 people in a clinic. And so we've intentionally made them small. They're half-day clinics.
Okay.
Right? So if you're...
That's, we kind of breezed over that. So you have a pretty... intimate setting there with the pro, 5 people at a time.
Yeah, so that was on purpose, and they're going to be a little bit higher ticket price because of that. But we wanted the instructor really to be able to work with the group, 5 people for a half day, get a lot of range time, a lot of targets, a lot of feedback. And I always feel like I would rather pay more and get the value out of it than, you know, pay very little, but be in a massive group and get very little feedback. Yep. That's just, to me, kind of a waste of my time, but I'm not everybody. But that's what we tried to design. And those are very limited. If you have any interest, I would recommend going to the website and getting some tickets, or seeing if we still have some available right away.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, again, just to sort of put a point on that, it's not a seminar where the guy's standing up front just talking to a big crowd. Like, you're actually going to be shooting and working with the pro for a given period of time.
Yeah, they'll probably start with some classroom work.
Yeah.
You know, naturally to make sure we go over the foundational pieces. And like Corey, for Sporting Clays, there's advanced sessions and then there's more intermediate. And with Richard Marshall Jr., there's singles clinics. And then there's also, I believe, some doubles clinics. So depending on what you're looking for, where you're at in the sport, there's options with that. But yeah, then they're going to get on the range. And that fee includes some targets. I believe 150 targets. Don't quote me on that. I didn't design the event.
Full details on the website.
Yes, they should be. They're on the website. But yeah, so it should be a great time. In fact, one of the first people to buy tickets was my son. And when I say my son, I mean me. For my son. because
you grabbed your wallet.
I'm looking at it going... Corey Cruz, who I know personally, he's a great, great guy. Just an awesome dude. It's like, he's going to be in Alexandria. My son shoots Sporting Clays. What a better opportunity than to have him learn from one of the greats of the game. And sometimes going through these situations, and we've all had these situations, when we get around different people, different environments, sometimes that ignites the fire. Sometimes things click. There can be takeaways for a lifetime for some people. So, yeah, I definitely got my son signed up right away.
Heck yeah. All right. Just a couple more notes on the event, like when it wraps for the day, is there a dinner, banquet, or is it just kind of come, hang out, stay as long as you want, and take off as you choose to?
Yeah, we're doing that a little bit different than last year. Details are still coming together on that, where we shut down the range, and then we end the day with an Annie Oakley tournament.
Oh, okay.
So the people that come to VIP night, they can qualify for the championship round by being at VIP night if they win one of the rounds of Annie Oakley. People that don't come to VIP night or didn't qualify at VIP night, they can shoot in, we'll probably throw 5 to 10 rounds of Annie Oakley, and everyone that wins a round moves to the championship. So then we end up with, say, 10 people in this championship round, and we have a huge perpetual trophy with all the different name placards on it for over the years. So we'll just keep adding to that. You end up getting a trophy. You win a gun. You win a gun as well if you win the Annie Oakley tournament. And it's so much fun. And it's fun to watch too. It's not like watching someone shoot trap. It's a lot more fun. But as soon as that's done, we do awards. And so we give out all the guns. We name our champions in the competitions. And... Then it's just kind of social hangout. We're going to try to have some stuff there. Just, you know, if people want to hang out, because last year it was a little bit awkward, I'll admit. We got done with awards and it's like, all right, thanks for coming. See ya. And it's just like a hard end. And I think, you know, part of the reason people want to come to this is for that social aspect. It doesn't all have to be super structured. Some people might leave, but just whether we have a bonfire and hang out or just have some drinks and talk about the day and just connect, that's what it's really all about.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So kind of a social hour at the end and hang around, and I'll, I would imagine we'll be hanging around probably until that following Sunday anyways. So, that sounds good to me. Quickly, you guys have camping on site. You got 120 campsites, if I remember from our call earlier this week. What else, just in case people are traveling, imagine, you know, people listening to this show, they might have little camping rigs or campers or whatever. They can bring those. Call ahead to set that up.
Yeah, you can
up.
Book that What's, right online through the ASP website, shootasp.com. You can book camping sites. We got electric water and a dump station there. Otherwise, a lot of hotels really close. We're not one of those ranges that's way out in the middle of nowhere. And I love ranges in the middle of nowhere, but we're also conveniently located to town. So hotels within a mile or two, and a whole bunch of them in the Alexandria area, lots of restaurants, things to do. So, you know, a family could really come make a long weekend out of it and spend some time. And the Alexandria area, if you've never been there, is a really cool place in Minnesota that a lot of people come to get on the lakes, to fish, for the water sports. But we got a great community.
It's been a while since I've been down there. My wife's family used to have her grandparents had a lake place, and we'd go out there once a summer. And I mean, I love the Minnesota lake life in the summer. It's kind of it's favorite time of year for me, among
your
other
second
times of year,
you mean your second favorite time of year?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But that's a cool area of Minnesota, and hopefully folks come and check it out. I look forward to seeing some listeners there and having a blast with everybody else. So it's going to be a fun show this year.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. Look forward to having you guys there and just spending some time together and also shooting that new shotgun.
Heck yeah. Before we wrap this thing up, anything you want to preview or tell listeners about, things happening on the YouTube channel or anything exciting you got coming up for the second half of the year here?
Oh gosh, I am trying to keep my head on straight, dude. You know, we make a lot of content in the summertime. We got the stuff at the Alexandria Shooting Park. We got Shotgun Fest. I'm still traveling to do shows. In fact, what day is it today? I'm leaving in like
June 25th.
Yes, I'm leaving on Saturday for Houston. Son and I have a show down there at the Greater Houston Sports Club. And so it's super busy and a little bit overwhelming. I love it. We get to do a lot of fun stuff. The chaos is a little challenging. And a little word of encouragement, Nick, as the kids get older, what I have found is it doesn't get easier. Life just gets busier somehow, unless you're one of those smart parents that doesn't have your kids in all the sports, all the clinics, all the things. And we haven't figured that out yet. But
I'm bracing for that.
Maybe you'll just have that kid that says, you know, I don't love football, basketball, track, and all these things. I just want to shoot. And you'll be like, all right, that's good. but yeah, life's crazy. We are working on Shotgun Find 2.0. And Shotgun Find is a research tool, shotgunfind.com, where you can basically go there, type in what you're looking for, and it's a database of all these guns. So you can look at all these guns. We got target focus life reviews. We got ratings of guns. It's been a kind of a neat research tool, but I think we're just scratching the surface of what's possible. So we're actually building that out to be a classified listing site. So dealers can actually put their guns on there. So when you're looking at guns, you could go there into AI and type in best upland over under shotgun. And then it will give you, based on the TFL research, here's our top three picks based on what you asked for. And here's where you can get them based on dealer listings. So we're working on that. I got some app stuff I'm trying to work on, but I can't talk about that yet. I haven't committed to
it. Save it for next time.
Yes. Well, there's got to be something for next time, Nick. And there will be.
Yep. Last one for you. Has anything very upland specific come across like your radar, hands on, anything like just again, it's summertime. We're looking ahead to next season. Shotguns, ammo, chokes, anything come to mind for the upland hunter that you can think of?
Yeah, the thing that pops into my mind as you say that, I just did a podcast for the Target Focus Life podcast yesterday. It's not out yet. It might be when this one's out with the Shot Tracker guys. They make this unit that goes on the bottom of your camera or on the bottom of your shotgun, and it can track a clay and also tracks your barrel movement. And when you shoot, it will show you where you shot, where you should have been, your last barrel movements. You can replay a video of the shot. It's not really meant to be a video camera I'd like to use to make videos of your hunts, but as a training tool. And all that stuff syncs to the cloud as well if you have a cloud account. So like you could have a remote coach look at it. But what they're trying to do or what they're working on, they just told me the other day, is a bird tracker. So like,
I was just going to say, can it track a grouse?
Yeah, you could actually put it on your gun. Now, it's a lot more complicated because when they write the programming for this, a clay is a specific size and generally, you know, one or two or three different colors. And they can write the code to be able to pick up the clay way more easily. With birds, they're different sizes. They're flapping wings. They're moving through heavy cover. And so they got to work out a lot of that stuff. But I'm super excited when they do launch this to try that out in a hunting scenario and just see how it works.
Yeah, yeah. I might have to have you put me in touch with those guys. That's kind of, it's intriguing. How does it relate to like, you know, Shot Cam? I'm familiar with that. They've been around for a while. Same thing, but, and that's like the feedback. It's such a, shotgun shooting can be such a limited feedback. Like if you miss the clay, and you're not really well trained, you might have zero idea what you did wrong. So obviously this is trying to fix that.
Yeah, even me from time to time, especially in hunting scenarios, you just start second guessing yourself. You know, I shoot a lot of clays in the summer, and then I have a tendency to overlead birds in the fall, especially early on. And, you know, it's like, what's going on? That is the problem that Shot Tracker set out to fix. In fact, Jim, one of the founders, he told his story on the podcast about how he was just fascinated from a young age. He had a story about a relative that went out and he came back and he said, I'm one for one. He was hunting all day. One bird for one box of shells. And it kind of always stuck with him that, hey, this is one of those things where you shoot and you don't get really good feedback necessarily. When you're really educated, shot a lot, sometimes you have a pretty good idea, but you don't know for certain what happened. You know, it's so much different than think about taking a shot with a basketball. It's like, right, you shoot a basketball, you get that instant feedback. Oh, I'm too far, I'm to the right, I'm doing this, that, or the other. So yep. They said,
I always think of a golf ball. I sliced it to the right, or I duffed it in the ground, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So they set out to help people figure that out better as a training tool. And it is incredible. From the first time I shot it until now, they have these different iterations, which are just fascinating. Like one of them is now they're launching. We'll have a video coming out on Target Focus Life probably in the next, soon, very soon. It's about the Smart Shot Coach feature. So picture this. You got your cell phone in your pocket. Pull, bang. It will evaluate your technique and give you feedback on your technique. Did you move the gun too early? Were you whipping the gun? Did you have excessive movement as you pulled the trigger? Those types of things. And then you can go back, watch the video. And what was really cool about this is I did this with two youth trap shooters. And then afterwards, so they got the feedback on the range. Afterwards, we went and looked at on the cloud of all their shots. And I can look at barrel movement. I can watch the video. I can really break it down and then give them feedback. And you see this, because that's one of the things as a coach, right? It's like when I'm trying to explain to you, Nick, what just took place, I'm just using my words and you have to create the images. But when I can show you the images and add words to that, I think people can connect the dots a lot better and go, oh, I get it. I see what's happening.
Yep. Man, my wheels are turning. I'm thinking about Dell Whitman and gun fittings. And when we sign off, I'm going to have to get their contact info because I'd like to get in touch with them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for the time today. As always, really appreciate you previewing Shotgun Fest for us this year. I can't wait to be there. Can't wait to hang out with you and the crew, and hope people listening find the time to make it as well. We will see you there, and keep up the great work, my friend.
Yeah, brother. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you.
You bet, man. That does it for this episode of the Birdshot Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you at Shotgun Fest.
Hey, everyone. It's your host, Nick, here with one more thing before you go. I want to thank you for joining us for this episode of the Birdshot Podcast presented by Onyx Hunt. Be sure to subscribe and follow the show so you don't miss our next episode. And if you really love the show and want to contribute above and beyond what you already do by listening, you can do so by joining our Patreon community. Click the link in the show notes of this episode to learn more. You can sign up for as little as $5 a month. And if you do, I'll send you some of these Birdshot Podcast can coolers and stickers as a thank you from me. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Birdshot Podcast.